So am I still waiting? Waiting a long time. Waiting for tonight. Oh.
So, take a look.
Welcome back to Review Away, everyone. It's John Pollock along with Wei Ting. Wei, this week you picked what we were going to review, and it was the 2000 classic, Ready to Rumble, directed by Brian Robbins and written by Stephen Brill, and grossed $12,394,327.
$12 million, wow. How much did it cost to make?
I have no idea, but I know now, Wei, that you and I could put anything together on wrestling and know that we could at least generate $12,394,327.
I have no idea how that happened, and good for them.
Now, had you watched this movie prior to reviewing it this week?
No, I have not watched this movie, and I had no interest prior to doing this review.
I never saw it in the movie theater. Jason Agnew actually purchased a movie ticket and watched this in 2000. Oh, I did not. I think I watched this either on TV or I rented it, and I hated it at the time, and let's find out if my opinion changed this time. I don't know how you want to review this because I recap this like we do a pay-per-view.
Yeah, me too.
And just went like thought by thought throughout the entire fucking hour and 40-minute
movie.
Let's
go through it. Let's not be too detailed, but let's just go through the basic storyline.
It started off with, it stars David Arquette and Scott Cann. David Arquette was Gordy. And Scott Cann, for the life of me, throughout this movie, I don't know what his name was.
His name is Sean.
Sean. Gordy and Sean. And we start off with, I think the high point of the movie was the opening, where they had all these classic shots of wrestlers like Johnny Valentine, The Crusher, The Sheik, Luthez, Bruno Sammartino.
A good opening title sequence. Very, very well designed.
Then
well
Gordy finished. Did a voiceover, and that was where this movie started to plummet for me.
It is safe to assume that professional wrestlers are universally recognized as the greatest athletes of all time. Sammartino, Lassie, Gorgeous George, George the Animal Steel, Superfly Snuka, Andre the Giant, Hulk Hogan. These are heroes of history. Superior athletes, superior men.
Essentially, we then cut from Bruno Sammartino and Luthez to a trailer park. Jesus Christ.
Was it a trailer park or was it the front of the convenience
store?
Oh,
right. It was in front of the convenience store. And yeah. At first I thought it was a trailer park.
So, basically,
trailer park was the motif of this entire fucking movie.
Oh, yeah. Well, that and shit. David Arquette and Scott Cann, they play two marks, basically. Two guys who really, really like wrestling. They're in their 20s and they believe wrestling is real. Their favorite wrestler is this guy played by Oliver Platt, whose name is Jimmy King, who's very much like a sort of a fuck-up in real life, but he's a wrestling legend.
Which right away tells you that when WCW is putting together a movie and who were they going to cast as the lead babyface was Oliver Platt, this guy was the most unathletic-looking presence I've ever seen,
yeah.
And you knew right away what kind of movie this was going to be. Yeah. One that, by the end of it, you'd be questioning why you're a wrestling fan.
It was definitely a questionable choice why they chose him to play a wrestler. Seeing him next to guys like roided up Randy Savage in the ring just did not look believable at all.
Sean is preaching to some little kids outside of the convenience store about the King, Jimmy King. And then we go... the convenience store owner, who's the big prick in the movie.
He's played by Amit Zappa, actually, the son of Frank Zappa.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. That's the Rick and David Flair of talent right there. Who comes out and proclaims that wrestling is for retards. And then we cut to a fantasy scene, Wei, where Gordy takes on the convenience store owner in a pro wrestling fantasy by... this was just so lame. We have Randy Savage and Gorgeous George in the background. Savage was able to leapfrog from this shit to Spider-Man in the course of 2 years. Which was an impressive way.
Yeah.
So they get into this wrestling match inside of a convenience store where they tag up. I don't know what to say.
What happens was David Arquette Gordy fantasizes about this fight, and he and Jimmy King defeat Macho Man. And then he wakes up from the fantasy and realizes he is still just a nerd in a convenience store, not accomplishing anything in his life. And then he sticks his hand in his butt. And then the Scott Cann character is like, "Why do you have your hand in your butt?" And then he walks up to the store clerk, holds his drink, and asks to return his drink for a new one because it smells like shit because his hand was just in his butt.
Ha!
And the clerk smells the shit on his hands, and he's like, "Oh, you gotta get a new drink. This is terrible. How did you drink half of it?" And from this point on, you could pretty much tell.
That was the whole scene.
Yeah,
there was nothing to advance. It was just a random scene where he put his hand up his ass.
About shit.
And the convenience store owner refunds his drink.
Did we mention that these two are sanitation workers? They drive a truck full of shit, these two.
So I guess maybe they're immune to the smell. They don't find it as gross as others do. We come outside, and there's a policeman that's molesting Sean, and it turns out to be Gordy's dad as he spreads Scott Cann's legs and fondles him.
He tells Arquette that wrestling is fake. This is the classic father who does not want his son to achieve his dream of, becoming a big wrestling fan, I guess. Whatever.
Then this is where we find out that they're sewage cleaners, and they're all excited because tonight is Monday Nitro, way, and they've got tickets to the show.
Yeah.
They got into a wrestling match.
Only in a fantasy can two dudes be so excited about tickets to Nitro.
Especially in 2000. Tickets would not be hard to come by at that time period. They got into a wrestling match at work where they use a vertical suplex, I write. Then they go to a takeout place to order some food, and Sean has a crush on Brittany, the employee.
Oh, hold on. You missed another pivotal scene.
Oh, did I?
A porta-potty scene where Scott Cann takes a shit.
Oh, yeah. I
and David Arquette sticks a vacuum into it. Does nothing to advance storyline whatsoever. Just it's how much shit can we cram into this movie? And this was
literally
pretty much it.
Yes. That's so funny. So while they're ordering from this girl, Brittany, Gordy yells, "He wants the Brittany taco special." And apparently, the backstory is that Sean and Brittany went on a date once, and all he did was talk about wrestling. And now she thinks he's a fucking loser and doesn't want anything to do with him. And Sean disproves this fact in the next scene when he shows Gordy his brand new bracelet. It says WWKD. What would King do? And he made a matching bracelet for Gordy.
Yes. They end up at Nitro, but they turn out to have really bad seats right underneath one of the pillars.
Which reminded me of that Raw we went to, where the WWE gave us those shitty tickets in a box where there was this pillar right in front of us.
It's happened to me, too. I mean, for WrestleMania, actually, WrestleMania 18, I got tickets to the SkyDome. I bought the advance tickets. I was so excited. Then I get there. I'm in the last row in the SkyDome, right underneath the second deck. It sucked. So I've been through there.
The sad part about this was that Rey Mysterio and Billy Kidman were doing a match here, and they actually had to take bumps for this piece of shit movie, and they probably had to do multiple takes. Rey Mysterio has horrible, horrible knees, and the fact that an ounce of his career might have been spent on this work. It's disgusting.
Disgusting.
The Nitro Girls then came out, and all of a sudden WCW had the rights to Motley Crue, and they danced to Girls, 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 which made me think of this old editor that used to work at the Fight Network named Kevin Kelly, who used to always sing that song, Girls, Girls, Girls,
I don't
in
remember
The
that.
Office.
Didn't know Kevin used to sing that. Rose McGowan happens to be the leader of the Nitro Girls.
Yeah.
Yeah. No Kimberly here for whatever
No Kimberly.
Reason.
It was all Rose McGowan.
Rose McGowan.
We go backstage, and guess what the backdrop for this is, Way? If you've, if you're a fan of Montreal, the Survivor Series 1997, let's go to this cheesy, cheesy segment with the promoter telling us what's going to go down tonight. It's going to be a shoot.
How you doing, Booker?
Yeah.
How you doing, boys? Billy, you all right? All right, look, King's late again, all right? I don't know what to do with this kid. I'm so sick of this shit. Plus,
what's the finish?
The finish is going to be, he'll pile drive you, get up on the ropes, and crown you, and he's going to get the win.
Whatever. Works for me. I'll tell the King.
Okay.
Thanks, man.
Nice to see you, bro. Alex, come here. I want to talk to you. All right, forget what I just told you. Remember I told you I'd take care of you?
Yeah.
All right? Tonight's your night.
Tonight.
Tonight.
Works for me, bro.
So that was the promoter telling DDP about the finish for tonight.
Played by Joe Pantoliano. Yes, this is the first scene where they actually break kayfabe, sort of. The whole time, I mean, we're being led to believe that wrestling is real, right? But in this scene, they clearly show that, hey, we have scripts.
I was not aware of this.
You didn't know wrestling was scripted?
Not at all. Ready to Rumble kind of led that. They broke kayfabe. We go to ringside, and it's Tony Schiavone and Mike Tenay, and suddenly I'm realizing that everything we review contains Mike Tenay.
That's true.
When Worlds Collide, Halloween Havoc, Ready to Rumble, Mike Tenay is in everything.
He's been around. Wait till we get to the TNA. We haven't even opened that safe yet.
The best thing is, I have some old tapes of TNA when they did their weekly shows from Nashville.
Oh, beautiful.
That'll be some fantastic
beautiful.
Shit to
I look
review,
forward
right?
to that.
Then Oliver Platt cuts this promo where he calls DDP his bitch.
Hey, Shannon, Wyoming, we gonna roost the mouse tonight. Yeah! I want to welcome you to the royal ass kicking of Diamond Dallas Page. You want to see me make Diamond Dallas Page one of my ladies in waiting tonight? Me take Diamond Dallas Page down into my dungeon and make him my medieval puppy dog bitch tonight. Yeah, that's what I thought, cause I'm the
sing it, man.
I'm the king of rock, there is none high. Sucker MCs call me sire. Burn my kingdom, give us you fire. I don't stop rocking till I retire.
And he raps way with the audience.
Oh, he raps, yeah. He was ahead of his time. He was like a John Cena, right before John Cena.
Was it a little creepy seeing Oliver Platt in the ring with Kurt Hennig, Perry Saturn, and Conan?
Why?
One's dead, one's disappeared, and Conan is on his last legs as a wrestler.
All right, but it's not creepy. He's not dead.
Well, it's just...
Perry Saturn's not dead either.
He could be.
Could he really? Like people,
no one knows where this guy is.
So why isn't there a massive search for him? Why aren't the police informed?
Well,
people just don't care.
You think that if a wrestling fan were to call up and ask where's Perry Saturn is like the legit Oliver Platt, where they need two wrestling marks to go find this guy and bring him back to his days of glory.
That's true. He's the Jimmy King.
We want the Rings of Saturn back.
Perry Saturn had a pretty big role in this movie, I gotta say, which was so odd for me to see Perry Saturn and Psycho Sid in a Hollywood production.
We should talk about this match, Way, the big Montreal screw job here in WCW. I should note, Oliver Platt, you know, he was able to get a role on the West Wing after this movie.
Wow. They must have not seen this movie.
DDP went against the script in the match, Way, and he started throwing potatoes, shooting
big
on
time.
The King. And then, basically, it was a 3-minute WCW main event, so at least you can't fault them for being true to form.
That was
legit.
What I was confused with was, okay, they're setting the scene for Montreal, basically. They have Joe Pantoliano come out and tell the referee to screw him, or tell Paige to screw him. Paige starts beating up this guy, then he does a catapult over the top rope and through a table. It's like, if you're going for reality... Go for reality. Catapults through a table.
He went through the table. Then the heels came down to beat down on King. But then the baby faces came to save the day, Way.
Yes.
But the baby faces turned on King. And King was beaten into oblivion, which forced Gordy and Sean to run to ringside. And Gordy yells, "This isn't even a pay-per-view!"
No.
There was no DQ in all of this.
No.
And then we go to the drive home.
Listen to us, like... recapping this like an actual match.
Series of events.
Yeah. But basically, John, the inciting act in this WCW movie is based on a WWE event,
which is kind of par for the course for WCW, which based an entire promotion around WWE at the time.
Yes.
They drive home and they're very despondent over the King being defeated.
Yes.
By the organization.
They're driving their shit truck. Their truck full of shit.
Yep. The sewage truck tips over. Unfortunately, both men lived. and then they're covered in shit, which I wrote down here. Apt metaphor.
They're covered in shit, and another truck crashes into them.
But this truck, Way, delivered toilet paper. So the shit truck crashed into the toilet paper truck. I swear to God, this fucking guy, Stephen Brill, I guarantee you he'd never watched wrestling before and just thought, this is what wrestling fans want. Their two teeth, they'll love this. Shit and toilet paper. It's ironic. This is fucking awesome. Ready to rumble. And WCW's just like, oh yeah, yeah. We really want to attach our name to this. Then they start hitchhiking to go find Jimmy Page because their truck is destroyed.
Jimmy King, not Jimmy Page. No, Led Zeppelin.
Right. God, how dare I?
That would be a much better move.
I wrote down here, decide to find Jimmy Page. That would have been a way better story arc if they just decided, fuck wrestling.
Yeah.
Let's go find Jimmy Page.
Let's be fans of something that's really good, like Led Zeppelin.
Then they're picked up by a van of nuns. And they are taken to wherever the fuck.
They want to go to Atlanta.
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 And then Way, it all builds up to this this big joke at the end.
See you guys later. You chicks rock!
Okay, bro, listen to me. I know we just got all this religion, but I got a serious question I have to ask you, and I need a serious answer. Okay, you swear to God.
I swear to God.
How many times did you fart in that van?
What does it mean, man?
Swear to God.
Me neither.
Swear to God.
Oh, my God. They are the farting nuns.
So, yes, the nuns apparently farted during this whole car ride, which Way, if you've never heard the joke, that got over like a fart in church. I guess that's what this was going for.
Oh, okay.
So fucking clever.
Genius.
Then we meet the Shermanator from American Pie.
Yeah, I wrote that down, too.
Who was playing a Jimmy King arcade game, and he helps find the king on the internet by going to a website called Hacker's Planet Way. Where apparently on Hacker's Planet, you can find the home address of any celebrity.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how they found the address of Jimmy King.
Yes.
And while Gordy is working with Sherman here on Hacker's Planet, Scott Cann starts singing Hit Me Baby One More Time.
Not funny, not relevant whatsoever. Just the dude singing Britney Spears because they think the audience would enjoy that. The Marks learn through the internet slowly that wrestling might not be real after all. They meet King's legit family, and they see that
Eugenia, who was the woman from Hollywood Squares and Sabrina the Teenage Witch.
Yes, yes.
Caroline Ray.
They meet her, and they find out that her story does not match the official autobiography of Jimmy King.
Yeah, and this was pre-Wikipedia, so these fans were, they must have subscribed to The Observer.
So really, this movie incorporated a lot of current themes, such as the internet, you know, breaking kayfabe and ruining wrestling for a lot of fans.
Yeah, so, and only Hicks would bother with this internet shit. They find him in his trailer home where he's dressed up as a woman. And eventually they get to chat with him, and King admits that Sinclair owns the intellectual property of the King character, so he is no longer the King. So breaking kayfabe to Gordy and Sean. And Gordy and Sean are so excited to meet the King, Jimmy King, that they chant him, "Crown us! Crown us!" Which I guess is similar to Antonio Inoki slapping his fans.
Is that
I
it?
Guess it's a badge of honor to be attacked by the King.
They travel to New York Arena for Nitro, and they sneak.
I called bullshit on this because there was a sign outside that said sold out.
They sneak King in via one of their porta-potties, and they all get into a fight backstage somehow. King bursts out, and
He was hiding in a porta-potty.
He was hiding in a porta-potty. And
burst out.
Yes.
And one of the directors yelled, "King isn't in the script."
Yes. This was all during some live backstage vignette with Paige and John Pantoliano, and they all fight backstage somehow. And somehow this supposedly real non-scripted occurrence ends up being leading to a steel cage match on the next pay-per-view.
for the title and $1 million in this shoot steel cage match. It's going to be a shoot wrestling match. Where yeah.
Rather than cut the feed, they decide to no, turn this they, into an angle.
It wasn't an angle. It was legit.
It was legit.
It was
yes.
legit. And apparently, after all WCW shows, they have dance parties inside of a trailer parks. And we saw Booker T dancing. We saw Gene Okerlund dancing. And then this is when Gordy met Sasha, who was Rose McGowan. And they decide to go on a date.
Yes.
And this is where they are back in Gordy's room, I believe.
Yes.
And they have a wrestling match.
They have violent sex.
Where Gordy beats the shit out of this woman and then fucks her.
Yes.
Was this borderline rape?
But she seemed to enjoy it, so...
More S&M.
I would say more S&M. More of that...
So let's get this straight.
BDSM.
Wrestling
variety.
Fans at the time are low-rent trailer park hicks who abuse women and...
Drive shit.
Yeah, and work for sewage companies.
Yes. But around this time, Jimmy King, they take Jimmy King to see a supposed shoot wrestling legend, a character that's very much influenced by Stu Hart from Wrestling with Shadows. You just meet this old guy who's...
Sal Bedini.
Sal Bedini, who's stretching all these amateur wrestlers in his dungeon, I guess you could call it, and he becomes the father figure.
This was Martin Landau.
Really?
Martin Landau was in one of my favorite movies ever, in Rounders. And the fact that, some of the people that would attach their name to this horrible movie, I don't understand it. The funniest scene of the whole movie was the goons, Perry Saturn and Sid Vicious, were sent to Sal Bedini's home to attack him. And you see them breaking into his house, and these two remind me of Bebop and Rocksteady from Ninja Turtles. It was so funny watching
Which one
these
was
guys.
Bebop? Which one was Rocksteady?
I don't know. Then how does Sal end up in the hospital?
They just beat him up. They attack him somehow.
Okay.
Saturn and Sid attack this guy.
Oh, so they were successful then.
They're in the hospital.
So then we got the heel turned by Sasha at the hospital, where she goes on the phone and she was hired by Sinclair to fuck David Arquette. And all this for a wrestling match.
Yes.
You whored out Rose McGowan to...
Your girlfriend, supposedly.
To get King Jimmy Page.
Yes. They traveled to see King's wife...
Jimmy King.
Jimmy King, yes. They traveled to see Jimmy King's wife once again, and King promises that he'll win the belt and turn his life around, reclaim his son, and...
He has dental problems because he's lost all his teeth.
Yes. His son is an overweight, fat... guy who lives in a trailer park.
And his wife, Eugenia, has crabs.
Yes. And also at this point, David Arquette's dad finally comes to pick his son up and tell him that he cannot follow this wrestling shit anymore, that he has to become a cop. He cannot follow Jimmy King on his journey. It's over.
So this is the big divide. As Sean goes with the King and Gordy goes home with his father. And Gordy cannot come to the big match to help King Pate.
This scene was way too melodramatic, I mean, for this type of movie.
It's very sad.
Everything is so transparent and simple in this movie. Like, I know we're spending quite a bit of time on this, but, like, we can tell this whole story in 2 minutes.
I know.
If you wanted to.
What are the other points? When we mentioned that Brittany worked at that fast food place, there was another girl there that was very shy and had a crush on Sean. Basically, Sean realizes that the girl likes her. They meet, they fuck, and then we see her in an NWO towel after they fuck, and we get to see Sean's bare ass. As this is during the rally for King Jimmy King,
yeah.
Before his big match at the WCW Royal Bash at the MGM Grand. So let's just go to the event.
Yes, this is the final act of the movie.
Sinclair goes up to Sting and gives him the encouraging words, "I will kill you if you fuck this up."
Oh my god. And Sting is in character at this point, just being a very quiet, silent crow Sting.
It's a triple cage match. They got Michael Buffer to do the intros for this. Another man that follows most of these events we review. Yeah.
DDP's goons start attacking King during the match. One of them is Masked Man, and it turns out to be Jimmy King's son.
Who does the heel turn on Pops.
Yes. Every shit wrestling angle is packed into this movie.
Just in case you didn't feel dumb enough as a wrestling fan, we have a scene where someone throws powder into DDP's eyes and he responds, "You idiot, that doesn't work."
You had a catapult through a table, perfectly effective in shoot fighting.
Just when it's looking horrible for the King, Gordy returns at the entranceway with a motorcycle, and he goes off some ramp and somehow goes through the cage and lands in the ring on a motorcycle. All of this done to the song Ba Wada Ba by Kid Rock. I'm convinced that Vince Russo was a consultant on this booking. Multiple run-ins, weapons, three cages, son turns on the father, we have a motorcycle, we have a woman hit by a ladder, the promoter is a heel, and this is all in like a four-minute wrestling scene.
Yes, DDP finally takes the big Foley bump through the three cages.
After Sting comes down from the rafters.
Oh, yeah.
Now, I just want to say that this came out in May of 2000. So roughly, Way, when would this have been shot?
This would probably have been shot somewhere around May 1999.
Just saying that they booked this probably right around the same time as May of 99. This all built to a great scene where Sinclair yells, "I made wrestling!" And they responded, "No, we made wrestling," pointing at the fans.
They toss Sinclair into the crowd, and these fans start violently stomping on him.
Disgusting.
I'm not even cartoonish, but like, they just start stomping on him. There's a close-up of this man being trapped underneath this crowd of people being stomped on.
After the match, the King thanks everybody, and he thanks Gordy Boggs, who he calls the Law. And he also thanks Sean, thanks the people, and it's a big triumphant win for the King.
And then the dad is happy.
And his dad finally sees his son on TV, so he's a mark for TV. And the final scene is they drive off in a Jeep, and Sal is in the hot tub in the back with Charmel and Nitro Girl Fire. And that's how this movie ends, Way.
And then there's obviously a blooper reel to go with this.
Oh, wasn't there? I didn't watch it.
There was a blooper reel.
I thought the whole hour and 40 minutes was a blooper reel. What'd you think of the movie, Way?
What I thought of the movie, okay.
Your overall thoughts.
A kayfabe movie about wrestling in 2000, after Beyond the Mat, after Wrestling with Shadows, after the internet. It just does not work. They attempted to incorporate elements of reality at certain parts, but it just ended up not making sense. Fuck. Everything was formulaic and done really poorly. There were bad cliches, embarrassingly dumb lines, like David Arquette saying, "There's a lot of glare coming off that dome of yours, booger face." Like, stuff like that. Way too many shit jokes. It just seemed like a really terrible idea from Time Warner, who somehow this all resulted in David Arquette winning the actual WCW title. Thank God nobody watched this movie because it provides an embarrassing, laughable, and cheap image of pro wrestling to its audience. And it was obvious, like you said, John, that the producers of the film did not understand pro wrestling at all. They think wrestling fans are two idiots who drive trucks full of shit and think wrestling is real. It's the laziest piece of shit I've ever seen. It feels like it was written in 4 hours, this movie.
If that. I can't believe that they presented this script to... could you imagine being a performer in WCW, doing this for a living, and this is the script you're presented, and you had to partake in this horrible, horrible movie?
Yeah, but what were they presented with in their real jobs?
I guess it wouldn't be that much of a downgrade, but this was just an embarrassing script. A horrible, horrible depiction of professional wrestling, and one that I can't see how you can even argue on the other side that, oh, well, it's much more marketable in this fashion. This was a horrible, horrible movie. Especially at a time when wrestling was very, very popular. When you could have capitalized, working with a company that has access to all of this talent that was still very well known. Bill Goldberg was arguably the biggest star in WCW at this time, and what was his role in this movie? He was just a fucking random goon in the background.
Yes, he was the supposed tag team partner of this Jimmy King, who was, I don't know.
I hated this movie, boy. I just hated it.
What do you rate it, John?
Zero. I can't even give it a 0.5. It was horrible. There's nothing positive about this movie.
So this is the worst.
I'm very black and white about my reviews. It's either great or it's horrible.
This is pretty much the bottom of the pit.
I don't think, that's one thing. I don't think there's anything we could possibly review that would be as bad as this in our future. I don't care if it's ECW, December to Remember, December to Dismember, the WOW pay-per-view, Heroes of Wrestling. Heroes of Wrestling was perfect in comparison to this. I don't think there's anything we could find worse than this movie.
The WOW pay-per-view.
Oh, I think it would be way better than this. Because that movie's been that pay-per-view has been described to me as campy fun. And I will get a copy of that. Because I've never seen that pay-per-view.
This, I will say, is it could be campy fun if you wanted to watch it this way. It'd be a good drinking game anytime there was shit on the screen. That would be fun. I'd give it a 0.5.
You give it a 0.5. All right. So we average out there to about a 0.25 out of 10 rating. I will update you, Wei, that I did contact someone involved with this movie.
Did you?
Who would not chat with us about this movie.
Okay.
So that tells you everything right there. Before we go, I do want to say that you can always contact us, john@thefightnetwork.com and wei@thefightnetwork.com with any feedback or suggestions of what you'd like us to review, as well as join our Facebook group, the official Review Away Facebook group.
Thanks to all you guys for putting up those links, by the way. It's very good.
Yeah, what I wanted to get people to post up on the Facebook wall right there is it is Survivor Series month in November, and obviously there's like about 20 Survivor Series events. If you could post a Survivor Series event you would like us to review, and we'll review one or two of them in November, because Survivor Series is always a kind of fun, some of them cheesy pay-per-views. I would say 97, but I don't know if anyone wants to hear us review that show. So yeah. If anyone wants us to review any Survivor Series events, just post them on the wall. And starting next week, to anyone who sends in feedback to us, we're going to do a draw and we're going to give away a DVD. Because I have been cleaning out my place, and I have so many DVDs that have been sent to us from WWE that we're never going to get to give away on the law.
Will this be what sort of DVDs?
These are WWE pay-per-views, okay. Random stuff.
So not VHS copies of Ready to Rumble?
I don't have a VHS copy of Ready to Rumble, or else I would be giving it away to anyone who would want it. So go post on the wall and send us your feedback, and we will be randomly giving away DVDs next week on Review Away. So it's my pick this week, so people have asked this one, and I found the VHS copy of it. So we're going to look at the 1999 release of Triple H in China,
oh.
It's Our Time, where it's basically a fake... Man. Behind-the-scenes documentary following around Triple H in China in character.
That would be awesome. That would be awesome.
And it's not a crazy amount of time. It's only like 75 minutes.
Well, thank God. I mean, I thought this would be a short one, but it ended up
taking... It was an hour and 40 minutes.
Yeah, it ended up taking a long time. All right, for a song, I would like to go out with... because this is a movie heavily based around Diamond Dallas Page, I just have very fond memories of... a time from WCW as a wrestling fan when my friend and I, we used to play in a band, and we would play, like, you know, these Nirvana riffs. Ever so often, like, we would break out into Smells Like Teen Spirit. But because we were both wrestling fans, we would play the Diamond Dallas Page version, where the only one chord would change, and anytime we hit the dun-dun, like, we'd just break out in the laughter. So I would love to hear Self High Five by Diamond Dallas Page. And who wrote that? Who wrote this song? Not Kurt Cobain.
Jimmy Page? I don't know.
Wasn't Jimmy Hart like the consultant on the
He might have. It could have been him. We'll look it up. Okay, we're going out with Self High Five.
Self High Five.